This week's malacha is the malacha of gozes, which is shearing sheep, or shearing. So, I know there's a lot of maisa class. So, when do we shear? And the answer is that we're going to see that this relates to combing your hair on Shabbos, cutting your nails on Shabbos, and probably... we'll discuss also a little bit for a minute, Pres Milo. We'll see how it relates to that, though I'm sure you're all getting ideas in your head already. So let's begin. So first of all, let's just start. The Rambam says, based on Gemara's, but it was easier to quote this Rambam, Hagozes Tzemer Osear, Bein Min HaBehema, Bein Min HaChaya, if you cut off wool or hair from an animal, whatever kind of animal, Bein min achai, bein min amei, whether alive or dead, chayav, you are obligated. It's an iser d'oraita. Hatolish kanaf min ha'ov, to break off the wing of a chicken, harizet toladat gozes. That is not the iser d'oraita, but the iser d'rabanan. Why would breaking off a wing be an iser d'rabanan and cutting off its hair be the iser d'oraita? What is the role of shearing sheep in the Mishkan? Let's start with that.
Shearing sheep, but didn't we choose the tachesh or whatever it's called to make the curtains?
Good, there are curtains. So you needed wool. So in order to make wool, in order to make things with to sew and weave, you're going to need thread, you're going to need the wool. So you had to get the wool from the sheep. You can't just pull them out of the sheep. There was an art involved, a skill, which meant to a way to get the wool from the sheep. So now we have an item that is attached to the sheep, and you are disconnecting it from the sheep. So if we define it that way, detaching something from an animal is the iser. But we're going to see how exactly we define that, because we also have to understand what we're doing with it. When we take wool from the sheep, we want the wool, correct? So let's say I disconnect something from an animal and don't want to discard it. Would that be the malacha? Would that be now a malacha she'ina tzricha l'gufa or not? Yes?
Separate question, is that okay?
Okay.
Sometimes you have like a whole like cooked chicken or something like that.
Good, we're going to discuss it applies to cooked chickens. Okay, it's coming up. Don't ruin it. You have to say spoiler alert. Okay. Source 2. Gemara says that Rav, I want to show you that the Gemara is going to use a certain term to describe gozes. Rav says, if it's not what you meant to do, it's us anyway. Betolesh, and just pulling something out of an animal, lav hainum gozes. What are we saying? I said to you, when you take the sheep and you take its wool, it's a skill, because you want the wool to remain usable, because you want to use it now to weave and sew. So that's a skill. If you were to just pluck the hairs out of the sheep, so that wouldn't be as good, and therefore it's not the same thing as gozes. And why in Yom Tov would that be allowed? It's all out of context, I just want you to see certain terms that's being used. Oker davar megidulo kila achariyad. You are uprooting something from its source. And in Yom Tov, if you're allowed to do that activity, with a shinoi. And the Gemara says, holy shlavayim gozes? What do you mean the two aren't the same? So don't conclude like Ralph, we just said. We have a proof otherwise. Hatolesh of the kanaf, if you pluck off a wing. Va, kodmo, va, morto, all sorts of activities that involve removing hairs and body parts. Chayav shalosh chataot, and it explains, what is tolesh chayav for? Amar shlavayim tolesh. Chayav mishum gozes. So even if you pluck a body part off, meaning you pluck the hair out, rather than share the wool off, you are chayav for that. kotzer as well. What is the malacha of kotzer? Where you reap, when you harvest something from the ground. When you chop off a tree or a plant, you pick it from the ground, that is kotzer, that is oker damin gidulo. You're separating something from its source. So the Gemara uses the same term to refer to gozes as it does to refer to kotzer. If we are to equate the two, what would that mean? Because I know that the other Shabbos I had broccoli. I broke off a branch of one piece of broccoli from the next piece of broccoli. Did I violate an isser? No. Why not? Because the broccoli was in my plate and not growing from the ground. So my food is, in other words, not still connected to its source of life, or in other words, it's dead. So would my malacha here of sharing a sheep apply only to a live sheep? If I kill the sheep, can I take its wool on Shabbos? Meaning, if the sheep died, I can't kill the sheep on Shabbos. But if I kill the sheep on Thursday, and the body is still sitting here, can I share its wool? Does this isser apply only to a live sheep? And herein we have a machloket between source 3 and 4. The Or Zeruah says, Hagozes, Tan Rabbanan, Atolish, Akanav, Pirish, Notes of Gdolam, Miknaf, Of Chai. To pull off a big feather from a live chicken. Has to be alive in order to violate the Isser Doraita, or at least the Tzrichah L'Gufa Isser Doraita. Source 4, though, the Ramban disagrees. Tamrin and Tolish Chai Vishim Gozi, Shamin and Mina, Delo Mechayev, Mechayev, Tfei Mila Achar Mita. Even if it's dead, dead or alive, you can't pluck feathers from chickens, you can't share wool from sheep, you cannot remove these body parts or things growing out of their body on Shabbos. And he says this is even after Shechita. Okay. So now we have to understand. What was it that was the malacha? Because we have a concept of something called a malacha hatzricha legufa, a malacha she'en hatzricha legufa. Are these terms you know? Okay, good. So let's just clarify something here in terms of malacha gozes. The malacha was, as we understood it or we explained it so far, that you have a sheep and you want its wool. So you're going to shear it in order to get its wool. So you want the wool. So if I were to do the same activity and discard the item, would that be a malacha she'en tzricha legufa or not? Or to get to some of the modern examples that we're going to discuss today, if I were to cut my fingernails, I don't want the fingernails. Nobody saves fingernails. That's disgusting. You throw them away. You bury them. You flush them. Fingernails are considered possibly nikbarim, things that you're supposed to bury. Could be a danger to leave. Somebody could trip. So I don't want the fingernails. So if I were to cut my fingernails or remove them, I don't want them. Is that now not a malacha? Is that now the av malacha? Is that now a lower form? Is that a tolada? Is that a malacha shein and tzrich legufo? Or is that still the highest form? Yes.
Sorry, it's not just a simple thing of you're reading bad from a good, kind of like separate.
Where's bad, where's good?
Doesn't mean you take the fingernails away from the fingers.
So anytime you cut something, separating bad from the good?
Well, you don't want the thing that you cut it off.
Could be dirty or something. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take it off.
No. I think it just shortened your fingernails. I didn't see a discussion of before.
If it bothers you, is that taking bad from the good?
No. Not everything that bothers you is separating them. Meaning, I can take out the garbage from my house, and it's not separating the garbage from my house. I just don't get away. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah discusses the malacha of gozes here. And he has a few klalim. I only put one here, but Berub Mimikzah Din Melechet Akziza. Hagozes Semer Osear Beimin Abeima Beimin Achayev Chayev. You share its wool or hair, you're Chayev. The Dafka Gozes Chiyuvah B'Kol Gavni, about Polish Min Achayev Pater. But to just pluck out these hairs, that's not the Isser Doraita. The Ein Derech Litvosh Mishum the Chayevah, meaning it's still an Isser Derabbanan. Pater means it's still forbidden, but you're not Chayev to bring a korban for it. People wearing animal skins. Okay? People, some you've heard of people wearing animal skins? Leather, fur, etc. Tzrichin leizayir shelo yitlashu min aser shelehem b'shabbat. Don't pull out their hairs on Shabbos. Okay? It's Aser. May not be the Isser Doraita, but it's still Aser nonetheless. L'chozeh b'behema b'chaya. That's talking about animals. Aval b'ofo darka ma'aser motzal yidli tisha. When it comes to chickens, it's actually you're meant to pluck them. That's how you remove feathers. You don't shear feathers, you pluck them. Kimo b'behema yidli tisha. The corollary is sheep you shear, chickens you pluck. The fiqh of Tolish Nabana, oh, Behman Chayim Behlach, Mita Chayim, Ifli Shatan, Zoe Gizatan. For them, plucking is the Isser Doraita. So it's not true that whenever you pluck, it's not an Isser Doraita. It's an Isser Doraita when that's the normal way to do it for the animal. To do the abnormal way, that's not the Isser Doraita. That is what the Mishnah Berurah says. In other words, plucking a hair from a sheep would be an Isser Dorabana. But plucking a feather out of a chicken, that would be an Isser Doraita. Now, we have to understand, how did they pluck these hairs? How did they do these activities? Did they do it by hand? Did they use some kind of kli? And, in our cases, will that make a difference? Is there a difference if I remove one of my hairs by hand or use a comb? And it pulls out one of my hairs. Is there a difference if I just break off a fingernail or bite my fingernail, or if I use a scissors or nail clip? So says the Gemara in Source 6. Hanot, says starting with the Mishnah, Hanotel tzipor nabzo bazo. You are removing one nail by using another nail to do it. Or bishinav, or biting it. Vechein tzaro, or removing a hair. Chayin's famo or zikano, meaning one was a hair from your head, and this is from your mustache or your beard. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev, Chachamim Osir Nishol Shvut. Rabbi Eliezer says, that's the Isser Doraita. Chachamim say, that's the Isser Derabbanan. What do you think is the point of the machloket here? There's a few possibilities. Again, the first distinction we made was whether you want it after you take it. What we discussed as the Avmalacha was you take the wool from the sheep and you want the wool. Here, nobody wants the fingernail, the hair from your beard, the hair from your mustache, or the hair from your head. We're not saving it to make anything. We get rid of those. That's one possibility. The other possibility is whether it applies to humans as opposed to animals. Because we don't take our item and make jackets out of it. We take sheep and make jackets out of them. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Machloket Yad Aval Kli Chayev. The Machloket, Rabbi Elazar, who says it's Nisr Doraita, and the Chachamim say it's only Nisr Derabbanan, is whether is only when you do it by hand. If I break a fingernail with my hand, Aval Kli, if I use a scissors or nail clipper, Chayev, everybody agrees it's Aser. The Gemara even says, Pshita, that's obvious. In fact, the Mishnah uses the phrase, I don't tell Tikornav, Zo bizo. Zo bizo is not. Using one fingernail to take off another. So the Gemara says, Mao de Tema, what would have been your Havamina? What might you have said? Rabbanan bekli nami patri. The rabbis even allow you to use a kli. Aha, they thought Zo bizo. The fact that we're saying, even if you use your fingernails, why does the Mishnah mention that case? L'diacha kocho de Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer is mechayev even when you're not using a kli. Kamash Malan, no. Everybody agrees a kli is forbidden, and machloket is only the level of the isra when you're using your hand. Why would you think that everybody thinks it's okay with a kli? Sorry, the rabbanon are makel with a kli, and the machloket is only to show you the koach of Rabbi Elazar. Well, source 7, Rashi explains very clearly. The ain kami shum gozis. The lo shayach ela b'tzimmer behema. What was the hapa mean of the Gemara? Why did they think that we're patur with a kli, according to the Chachamim? Because gozes is what you do to wool. It's what you do to sheep. It's not what you do to human beings. That was the havamin of the Gemara. The maskana, the conclusion of the Gemara, it applies even to humans. Either the director or the rabbanon, that's the machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim, and that's by hand. Using a kli is usher, according to everybody. Yes?
If, like, rubbing a hand in my hair is likely to take out a strand of hair,
or we'll discuss how likely it has to be.
Okay.
You're allowed to use your hand generally in your hair.
With a brush.
It's like, I think every time I do it.
We'll discuss the brush. The brush is more
common. Every time I do it with my hand, like, a strand of hair will come out. Does that mean I can't do that?
If it's guaranteed, then you probably shouldn't do it. If it could be,
that's going to be a lot of control. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to discuss that. Okay. Now, is it a malacha shetzik legufa or not? Because again, you've been saying the malacha in the Mishkan was that they kept the wool. Here, we're throwing away the item that gets disconnected. So the Ramban in source 9 says, "Ani omer ve'in ani omer king the mila a bris mila. Bris mila is also." You are separating a part of the body from its gidulah. And we know, do we do a bris on Shabbos or not?
Yes.
Okay. Why do we do a bris on Shabbos?
Because
the Pasuk says so. The Pasuk says, Yom HaShini Yimol B'Sanon HaLetov, on the eighth day. And the Gemara says it wouldn't have needed to say that already because we already knew the mitzvah was to do it on the eighth day. It must mean that it's even Docha Shabbos. Why would you need a Gzeres HaKatuv? Why would you need a Pasuk to come and tell you specifically that you can do it on Shabbos? Because you would think you can't do it on Shabbos. Why would you think you can't do it on Shabbos?
Something that you drink during the meeting.
Shearing.
Shearing. Gozes. Okay. Ein ani omer kein, demilo vadei malacha tzricha legufani, shehu tzarech shehei adam zemahu. Why is it tzrich l'gufa? He says, don't view tzrich l'gufa as in the prototype of the malacha is that you want this wool. He says, view it as you want this item to be fixed. You want this item to be the way you want it to be. Uma doma lezeh notel tzipor na bechli v'chein tzimam moshu chai mishum kol l'adagozis b'afu vi she'enu tzrich l'gufa tzipor na imas seyar. Malacha hatzricha lekufi. Why is it a malacha? The hatzricha lekuf? Because, says the Ramban,
isn't hatzricha lekuf also mean benefiting for yourself? So by having
it, no, that's not what it means. Right. Malacha hatzricha lekufa means that you're doing the malacha for its purpose. Okay? As in, if I, for example, let's say, malacha to not extinguish a fire in Shabbos. Why did they extinguish fires in the Mishkan? Because they needed the coals. So if I extinguish a fire not in order to have coals, then I've done malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. Okay? Why did they dig on Shabbos? Because they wanted the dirt for something. If I dig just to have a hole and I don't want the dirt, I've done a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. The goof doesn't mean my goof, the goof means for the purpose of the malacha. So if I do the malacha for a different purpose, that's malacha she'ena tzrich legufa. So here, the malacha tzrich legufa was when you take something from the animal and you want it. Here you don't want it. Why is it a malacha she'tzrich legufa? So, we saw in the Ramban that it's because you're being metakin the item, you're fixing the item in the end. The goal is, you want this person to have a bris. You want this baby to have a bris. So you are essentially doing the malacha in a constructive fashion. This is tzrich l'gufa. That's its goal. Let's look at a few other Vash, who I put on the back of your page. So he was from 14th century Spain. He had quite an interesting life story. He had to flee a whole bunch of times from persecution, sometimes from Jews, sometimes from non-Jews.
From Jews?
Sometimes from Jews who were vying for positions with him and reported on him to authorities and things like that. Not the best situation. Says the Rivash in Ashur. Abag Ziza Haitha B'Mishkan. Says they had Gozes in the Mishkan. Shalola Zorah HaTzemer HaSef. Here's another possibility. I had defined to you Gozes originally that what, where was it in the Mishkan? They took the sheep and they sheared its wool and they used that wool. He says, no. There's another place they used Gozes in the Mishkan. Rak Letzorach HaBor, Kigon Bahor of Hashim, as she mentioned before. They wanted these hides to be smooth. So they would remove any hairs from them in order to make sure the hides were smooth. There, you don't want the hair. And he says, and since that's the mulacha that was in the Mishkan, Alkin Chayav Kol Shehu Letzorach Gufo, Avo Pishin Letzorach Lezayar, Umulacha Tzorach Legufahi. So another way to view it as Mulacha Tzorach Legufo is that it's even when you don't need it, it's malacha and it's legufa because you're being mitaking it. Just like you pull off this hair and you want the hide to be smooth. And now we understand about the bris milah. You don't want the foreskin, you're not going to keep it for anything, you throw it away. You want the person to be without a foreskin, much like you wanted the hide to be without any stray or spare hairs on it. It makes it look unkempt. The Shulchan Aruch, when he paskins in source 11, which way does he paskin? Well, before we even get to that, let me just give one last piece of background. We have a concept about Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufo that I've been trying to explain. And, in fact, when it comes to Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufo, there's a question, is a machloket, are you chayav or not? And there's two views. There's Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you are chayav in a malacha shein tzrich legufo. Rabbi Shimon says you're potter when it's malacha shein tzrich legufo. So now, what these last two sources were doing was a certain possibility that I'm going to offer you now. In order to discuss this halacha of cutting your hair, cutting your fingernails, meaning removing hair and fingernails, and it being a problem, it's seemingly malacha shein tzrich legufo. So I just read those last two sources that you already know the answer. But there's three possibilities we can essentially have. We can either say the Gemara is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says malacha shein tzrich legufo is chayav. Okay, so it's only in his shita. According to Rabbi Shimon, it says you're puter for it. It's not a problem. The second possibility is it's still malacha shein tzrich legufo for some reason that we have to redefine how it is, or it's an exception to the rule of malacha shein tzrich legufo. In other words, why for some reason this time Rabbi Shimon would say it's chayav. So we just saw two views, and then we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch again some more. But we have the Ramban saying it's malacha tzrich legufo, so he's not saying it's only Rabbi Yehuda, he's saying it's even Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Shimon is mechayev you, because it's malacha tzrich legufo. Why is it malacha tzrich legufo? Because we're redefining how it's malacha tzrich legufo. Because the goal is to use it to perfect it. The Rivash similarly says it is malacha tzrich legufo, because even in the Mishkan they had where they sheared things and didn't keep the hair. It was just to perfect the skin. Fine. Shulchan Aruch, source 11. Also, litol saro tzipra nava ben biyad ben bekli ben atzav ben lachem nechay v'shnei saro. If you remove even two hairs, you are chayav. If you were removing a white hair from your black hairs, because you don't like having gray hair or white hair, so then you're chayav even for removing one hair. So without getting into the distinction between the one and the two, it has to do with, there's a shear for cutting hairs, there's one hair coming out, isn't that anything, but if you remove a white hair from a lot of black hairs, and now you don't have a white hair there, you've done the perfecting of your hair, and therefore, okay, that's a side point on this. The Be'er Halacha comments on this Shulchan Aruch, and he says, and this is the third possibility that I mentioned, Hinea tosar katvu, zehu dafko the Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha shein tzricha leguf lechayev. The Shulchan Aruch is essentially paskening like this Toso, because he's saying you're chayev for removing a hair. Must be, since it's Halacha shein tzricha leguf, and he's saying you're chayev, he must be paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. Of all the Rabbi Shimon Potter, optically, since it's Halacha shein tzricha leguf, even if you use a kli, you'd be Potter. So many people question this din of the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, it seems, again, let's just go through those possibilities so we realize what we have. Shulchan Aruch says, you're chayav for removing the hair. We have a question. Kushia. Which is, Halo ze malacha she'ena tzricha nebufa. So we have three possibilities as to how to answer. One, ze rak fi Rabbi Yehuda. So we know Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's chayev, says you're chayev in Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufo. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that this is an exception to the rule of Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufo. The same in a cloud. And the third possibility is that somehow this is a malacha tzrich l'gufa, and we just have to redefine what the malacha is or what tzrich l'gufa is here. For example, it's perfecting the person rather than getting the hair, and somehow it's tzrich l'gufa. Perfects you. Instead of being this unkempt person with random hairs in your beard, you are now beautifully clean-shaven Chavad Shabbos, or you're a very vain person, you don't like having a white hair, you are now a person with all the black hairs. You might be an Isser anyway for men to do that. In general, I mean, on Shabbos, on a weekday, that's a discussion for a different time. Is there a question before we move on? Okay.
So the point there, the third point is that you call it busy. Can you call it your Shabbos?
Do what? Pull out a hair? No, you can't pull out a hair. Okay. No excuse. Yeah.
Well, doesn't that mean that if you don't actually want to lose the hair, yeah, or you don't care about losing the hair, you're just doing it absentmindedly or something like that, wouldn't that mean it's fine? Because you definitely don't require the action either way you look at it. You don't want the hair, and you don't want to have less hair on your head.
If you're less subconsciously, there would be nothing you could do.
But that would mean you could use a comb.
We're going to discuss. Coming up. Okay? Source 13, Magen Avraham, comments on this Be'er Halacha. Right? The Be'er Halacha said, this is Tosfot, who says, this din is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. So, Source 13, the Magen Avraham says, Uman da Amar, Malacha Shema Tzricha, Legufa Potter, Mayri, Shitzarek Nesara. It must be talking about a person who cuts his hair and then wants it. He wants to make a wig out of it. He's trying to fill up a big bottle or basket of hair for some strange reason. Okay, this person wants his hair. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you're chayav in this case. It's talking about a person who wants the hair. So again, it's tzrich l'gufa from the straightforward reason. Aver Alacham. Again, cites the Rivash, source 14, from the top of the second column. Hine Rivash, Siman Shin Tzadik Dada, Katak, Rulech, Rakzik, Zachashem, Malacha, Kuliyama. Gozes is a Malacha, Afilo, Enzer, Haseyar, even if you don't need it. Why? Because he's Aitav Mishkan, Shalul, Tzor, Haseyar. So we saw this was the Rivash. Malacha, Tzor, Kuliyama. Here's an interesting case. A woman forgot to cut her nails for Shabbos, and she needs to go to mikvah. It's her mikvah night. This is also a halacha l'maisa. One day when you all get married, you need to have wives, and they're going to need to go to mikvah, and it's going to sometimes fall out on Friday night, so they should be cutting their nails in advance of Shabbos. For some reason, you were so busy preparing 17 kugel for the thousands of guests you have every Shabbos because you're big tzaddikim. So she forgot to cut her nails before Shabbos. And now it's mikvah night, and we have a rule. When you go to mikvah, you can't have a chatzitza. What's a chatzitza? Something that blocks the water from getting on you. And when it comes to the rules of chatzitza, it's a chatzitza midoraita if it covers most of your body and you don't want it there. So this isn't a chatzitza d'oraita, because fingernails are tiny, they don't cover most of your body. But midrabbanan, if it covers even part of your body and you don't want it there, or if it covers most of your body and you don't care about it, it's still a chatzitza. So this, fingernails that are too long, are something you're about to do. Since people like nice, kempt, is that a word? Nicely kept nails. So the nails that are too long are a chatzitza. So she needs to cut her nails in order to go to mikvah. If we tell her she can't cut her nails, she can't go to mikvah, which means she can't be with her husband tonight, and she has to wait till Motzei Shabbos. That is not something we like to do to couples. So what does the Bar Halacha here say? The Isha Shishachal Nikol Tzipor Naim Bar Shabbos Yir Alal Tfilatav Shabbat. What should she do? Bevada Lichachila Nachoma Lizayer Shetomar Le'ovid Gilulim. She could go to a non-Jew and tell the non-Jew to cut her nails, but when she tells the non-Jew to cut her nails, she shouldn't tell the non-Jew to use a kli. She should tell the non-Jew to cut her nails by hand. So why is it okay to tell the non-Jew to cut your nails? Do we allow you normally to tell the non-Jew to do a malacha for you? No. Mir l'nachri is an isser. Nachri cooks for you, you can't eat it. If the nachri plows for you, you can't benefit. If he does any of the malachas, you can't benefit. So why are we allowed to have the nachri cut her fingernails? It must be that we're saying cutting fingernails is not an isser d'oraita, but an isser d'rabbanan. And therefore, we're going to allow telling a non-Jew, which is itself an isser d'rabbanan, to violate the Isser D'Rabbanan of cutting the nails, because it's possibly a malacha she'en atzricha legufo, and it's a tzorech mitzvah. And that is how the Bar Halacha passes. Ach, b'i'afshar lo b'yad, let's say she can't do it by hand, so then the Magen Avraham is meiko even to have the non-Jew use a kli. Since, in his view, it's a malacha she'en atzricha legufo, it's not even this category. Meaning this category says, even when you don't want the item, it's still a malacha tzrich legufa because you're perfecting yourself. Here it's not. She's not trying to look pretty. She's just trying not to have a chatzitza so she can go to mikvah. And therefore we can be makel to tell the non-Jew to cut her nails even with a nail clipper. That is how the Bar Halacha paskins, and if you ever have an issue with that one day, maybe just clarify with the Rav if you have a shiloh, but know that there is that paskin lahalacha. Okay, that was fingernails. Most of us don't ever have a reason to cut a fingernail on Shabbos, so that is the less applicable one to us, but Melechet Gozes does apply to all of us when it comes to brushing or combing our hair. So with that, we go to source 15. Shulchan Aruch, Paskins Le'alacha. Aser Lisrog Masreg Shabbat. You cannot comb your hair with a comb on Shabbos. or a brush on Shabbos. Even an especially wonderfully soft brush, as though it was made from pig hair. Pig hair is considered so soft and wonderful, though it sounds in the abstract when you're thinking about it pretty gross, but brushes can be made from horse hair and pig hair and all sorts of animals' hair. Now we use synthetics, but they're made from animal hair. And so even ones that were considered especially soft and nice, like a Sarah Husser, you cannot use them on Shabbos. She'efshar shelo yachmusarot. It is impossible to comb your hair and brush your hair without it removing hairs from your head. Aval mutar. Mutar means l'chadchilo, you are allowed, l'chuf l'fasfes b'yad, to use your hand. L'chuf pad, fasfes, to straighten and part with your hand.
And if you brush it very gently, like just the top?
We're going to come to that right now. It's coming up. Also the soap. Actually, right before we go on, regarding fingernails, it does come up in people who bite their fingernails. You are not allowed to bite your fingernails on Shabbos, and it's quoted in the name of the Chazon Ish that if you know a person who can't stop biting his fingernails, that person is assumed to be a person who probably bites them on Shabbos as well, and therefore we would consider such a person pasul leilos, because he's a person who violates Shabbos.
Pasul
for testimony. So that's something to be aware of. I happen to know a person who likes to, who has a nervous habit that he puts his hair or beard or haggis or whatever in his mouth, and he really worked on himself, and he does it 6 days a week. I watched him, he doesn't do it on Shabbos. So don't assume because you see a guy biting his nails that he does it on Shabbos, but if he's unable to control himself always, and he even does it on Shabbos, so therein the Chazon Ish says you would assume it's an issue on Shabbos too. Okay, source 16, the Mishnah Berurah, commenting on this line of the Shulchan Aruch we just read. Also, there's no. Why? Mishnah Tlisan Asera go to Havi Toledah the Gozis. It's a Toledah, it's not the Doraita, but it's a Darabonim, meaning it's a Doraita, but it's not the Iker Malacha of Gozis. Don't say it's Darabonim, but I mean it's the Malacha Shein Asrich Lagufa, it's the lesser category of the Malacha. Shei Yashar, as the Shulchan Aruch says, it's impossible. What does it mean it's impossible to do it? Okay, and afim eino mechaven l'tlisha tzeir. Even if you don't mean for hair to come out, gam kenot sir. Why? To have it sick ratio. Sick ratio means something is an inevitable result. It will happen every single time you do it. It will happen. Ugumara has a few examples, and he says, okay, let's go down to the next part of Ol, and he's quoting a sefer. Katav b'sefer Yeshua Yaakov. Ra'iti anashim mekilim nisroch rosham b'shavah. I have seen people who are mikol to brush their hair on Shabbos. But kimat naseh ha-davar kehadir Islam. And it seems to me that they just treat it as though it's permissible. Va'oile na'im shikavu, to water my eyes for seeing such a person. La'avor b'sed nefesh l'chalo Shabbos b'yadayim. People have disregarded that this be machalo Shabbos. U'meha ra'oile kol chacham b'yiro la'hazir azeh. Every rabbi should teach his community that this is not allowed. Maybe they'll listen and take the lesson to heart. If he has messy hair, his friends are going to make fun of him. He can do it in the permissible fashion, which is, he can do it by hand. You make yourself look relatively neat by using your hands. So why would you violate such an iser? Efshar shelo yakusero. And here then we have a second issue. So one issue is removing hair. Another issue that we have, we saw this already once in the Malachos of Bishul, and it comes up in a few different Malachos of Shabbos. There's something called uvdin techol, which is activities you do during the week, you shouldn't be doing on Shabbos. Or if you do them on Shabbos, you certainly shouldn't be doing them in the same way. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in Zayin. Shaloyah Kuserot, Kumakom Mutal Takim Haaretzer Rosh Bekliyah Asur Misar Fazir. He is Mako, if you have an especially soft brush, to just use it to dab your hair to fix it a little bit. Not to give it a good brushing combing, but just to dab yourself a bit. The Daf Alisor Aserbo, the Meshir Ser, Alatakim Aat Shari, O Masre Aser Apazet. Says if you have a special one for Shabbos, you get around the second issue. So what are you allowed to do? You can use a brush just to like tap your hair to help yourself make it straight. In other words, you don't only have to use your hand, but you shouldn't be giving yourself a good brushing. But even this brush, in order to not have the problem of building the hole, should be a special Shabbos brush. You have a question here?
Yeah, can you use wax or gel?
That's a different issur, and I wouldn't. Okay? Fine. Source 17, discussing, it's a little bit out of context, but you'll see why it's here. It's discussing a person scraping off something from his clothes. In regard to the kli asur l'kaf, you don't scratch off with a special scraper. And then came that you got double rugged up and put the tip it so unless they're really dirty, like with excrement. So what is the kliya asur l'kaf? I'm reading Gemara. The mayalo kliya yuchal l'shabbat shari. If you had a special Shabbos one, a Shabbos scraper, that's allowed. Katava magen Avram, and this is why it's related to us. The mizen nagua betulos, those young women who are looking to get married, and therefore they have to make themselves constantly looking pretty. So that someday some guy shall catch his eye and he'll want to marry her. So they have to comb their hair on Shabbos and brush their hair on Shabbos. How are they going to do that? You can't brush your hair on Shabbos. So now liyam klim yisar chazer miyuchad haShabbat betulah metzeh kevim nechol. And thereby they don't violate the nechol. And he points out again that if you saw what I wrote in the Mishnah Berurah earlier, only to slightly dab your hair, lashkivam, if they're sticking up, you can flatten them with this. About lisrobo, but to actually comb or brush your hair with them, usher, apazeh, shikif, shashli, close they are. And if you look at the brush of a lot of people after they brush their hair, and this isn't only talking about middle-aged men who are starting to bald, if you look at a lot of brushes, there's usually a lot of hair in them, and they're pulling out a lot of hairs.
You could say the same thing about men that they're looking for shidduch and then they don't.
Right, so you should make your hair as nice as you can without brushing it.
I don't understand about dabbing your hair, because the brush.
So
you see that with hair, right?
It means you're not scraping the roots.
It means you're not actually brushing it, you're just flattening it.
So even for women, it's not okay.
Even for women, they can only flatten it, correct.
Can you wet your hair a little bit?
Yes, if you're careful not to squeeze it.
Okay.
Two more sources, and I'm going to say one last thing about brushing, and then I'll take your questions. Should Igros Moshe, from Moshe Feinstein, discusses, he was asked about brushing hair in Shabbos. B'dvar le'disroka sarok b'shabbat asr, b'en administration ikra kum, b'en b'kli asor b'sei achazer b'mod ikra brush. You know those words? Kum and brush. It's asr either way. Even not soft ones like a pig hair. Okay. And even that one, she yells that clean you on the Shabbos, it should be a special Shabbos brush or comb. Kids are dumber, she lists her brush, even using a brush, so that you can fix it a bit. If a brush, you have yuchad rak the Shabbat, and you have to designate it beforehand. And one last source 20, Be'erloch, again quoting the Ribash, that filu letakim adaser masrek gamkin asarach yishnomar l'shamari shlo yeh arash adayin sarug yofa v'alkein apetikim ad poli sar masrek. Regarding a comb, even the comb does remove some hairs, though again, he's mekel if you just use it to poke it or flatten it rather than to comb it. Can we do any bit of limud zchus for the people who brush or comb otherwise? I saw possibly, meaning, I saw some post-game and some Rabbanim when I looked for it, who were trying to be Malami Sura Bushito, some of them with a little bit more success than others, but none of them were Matir L'Chachila. They're only trying to help out those who do this regularly. I think you have to be a little bit honest with yourself. Take a good look at your brush or comb, especially the one that you're designated for Shabbos, and look at it and see if it removes any hairs. And you know, if there's hair stuck in your comb or brush, it does. And if it never does, so then you can use that one as the one designated for Shabbos and use it to lightly flatten and straighten and pat down your hair, but not obviously to fully brush your hair on Shabbos. Questions?
Yeah, if you've got a comb that the bristles are very, very spread out, like they're not made of hair or anything, they're made of like plastic, but they're like really spread out. Is that considered, does that have the same?
Yes, it has the same. Sorry.
If you have an itchy scalp, you're not actually trying to brush your head to make it look good or anything like that, you're just scratching your head.
Yeah.
It's fine?
I think so.
Okay. Like,
it's gross, but it's fine.
What if you're just doing it absentmindedly, it's just like a habit? Like it's not, you're not
just
trying to make
your head.
You're not trying to make your head. I'm saying you're not trying to make your head look good or anything like that. It's like naturally just go like this.
With your hand?
Yeah.
So if you bark your nails and then realize halfway, are you still committing the full Israel? Or is it about removing entirely?
I don't know the answer to that question. That's an interesting one.
Is it dependent on you wanting either to have the thing which is coming out or to have less of the thing itself? And if it's neither of those things, you're fine?
No, it's not fine. It just, when you do it by hand, it's not the isidoreto. When you don't want the item, it's not the isidoreto. When it's not your intention is just to scratch your head, and it's not inevitable that hair is going to come out. That hair could come out. So all these things combine to make it not a problem for you to scratch your head and hair falling out. That's the issue. The problem is doing an activity with a kli where inevitably hairs will come out. And that is how the poskim view brushing your hair. They don't view it as possible that you're going to give your hair a good brushing and hairs won't come out. And therefore they say that's secretion, meaning that's usur, and that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Just flatten your hair, or you know, you can throw, like I've seen, and I've done, depending on how short or long my hair is, I could just throw some water on it and leave it, and it'll be fine, because the water will weigh it down, and it'll straighten, and it'll be okay. And worst comes to worst, I can just go like that, and look as good as new.
One of the things is because, like, practical things that don't work.
Yeah.
When I like rub eyes and I wake up or something like that, sometimes an eyelash will come out.
It's not
like I'm wondering
it's not
the frequency. What's the frequency that it's considered inevitable?
Every time that you do it, it happens.
So if I do it 99 in 100 times and it happens,
that's considered every time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what's inevitable?
But if it happens only 1 out of 3 times or 1 out of 2 times, that's not considered every time.
I'll test it.
Is there a source for not cutting your nails like from Wednesday because it will grow on Shabbos?
I don't know such a source.
Have you heard it?
No, I think in fact the Shmir Shabbos Kolchata says that, you know, the Mishnah Berurah discusses, and not in Hilchos Shabbos in general, just like there's rules on how to get dressed in the morning and how to bathe, so there's rules on cutting your nails, so it discusses not cutting all 10 on the same night. So you cut, you know, this, this, and this one day, and then the other one's the other day. So if you're going to do it for Shabbos, you're going to do it Thursday, so the other one's going to cut Wednesday. So that means that you're allowed to cut on Wednesday. So
you should really cut them on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's okay.